Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, markets and company news from Momentum. I'm joined by Fahima Adia. Fahima, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. Maybe the best place to start is the Rand. I've got it at 18.65 on my screen right now. That's down by almost 1%. Obviously, market is nervous ahead of all of this negotiation around the budget.
Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. Yes, we saw the Rand weaken quite significantly today, and I think it was driven by those concerns around the GNU and those budget jitters. Also, South Africa's ever worsening situation with the US. So the US did highlight that there were a few barriers to trading with South Africa, citing things like the Expropriation Act, broad-based black economic empowerment, and also one-sided tariffs that don't work in their favor. So I think that's just another headwind.
As far as the JSE is concerned, 89,324 points there or thereabouts, are down by 0.7%. And I see resources and industrials really holding on by their fingertips.
Yeah, so we did see the market weaker today. That was dragged lower by the financial sector. And again, just the budget jitters that I would say has contributed towards that and those reciprocal tariffs in the US that I do later.
Sanlam and Sasol particularly taking a bit of heat today.
If we look at Sasol, I mean, this one has been weak in general. We did see a brief period where there was some recovery, but it does seem to be falling again now. And then Sanlam seemed to be down after raising some concerns about the risks that geopolitics are presenting and concerns about the removal from AGOA that was shared in an article yesterday.
Let's talk a little bit about tariffs and AGOA. So on Wednesday, today, we are expecting the Trump tariff rollout. He's calling it Liberation Day. And the general consensus, Fahima, and you'll agree, is that it opens a new era of risk, not only for the South African economy, but globally. So first of all, then, what's the general market sense about how South Africa is going to be impacted, one, by any kind of tariff announcement that the American government makes tonight? And then second of all, as far as AGOA is concerned, conventional wisdom is that we're probably going to exit that particular agreement. But I see that the trade minister is planning on setting up a meeting in the US to address this threat.
Yes, so it is concerning. At this point, you know, the US has highlighted a few issues that it has with South Africa. It does seem that the relationship there has soured quite significantly. And, you know, South Africa does benefit quite a lot from the preferential terms under AGOA, which basically provides duty-free exports from South Africa to the U.S. We really benefit a lot when it comes to auto exports. If you look at the auto exports to the U.S. in 2023, that was valued at about $27 billion. And that agreement is now up for renewal in September. So South Africa could be severely impacted, I think, if the U.S. refuses to renew that or decides to just scrap that agreement completely, which could then lead to South African vehicle exports facing a 25% tariff hit, which would be harmful for that industry and our economy.
But for him, it's not just the auto industry, but it's the entire supply chain that would be impacted. And that then has a domino effect on broader market sentiment.
Yes, exactly. And we've already been struggling with things like weak economic growth. We were hopeful that we could see some improvements in the GDP figures this year. So that will have a knock-on effect on those type of things. The other issue is that they've already cut other forms of funding in terms of support for HIV and also military training. So all of these things, I think, just put further pressure on our economy.
Two notes out of ABSA's annual report, which are interesting. Let's look at the first one. It's to open an office in Dubai. It says as a result of Gulf investments across the entire African region booming. All well and good. It's obviously a strategic move as far as the group is concerned, but I wonder if it's not too late.
Yeah, so they are following a number of their competitors that have already opened office there. So I don't think it's too late. There's a lot of opportunity there. It's expected to enable that business to do business with nations in the Middle East that want access to African markets, particularly looking to invest in African infrastructure. There's been pretty strong growth in trade and investment between the Middle East and Africa over the past few years. Looks like that will be set up in the first quarter of 2026. It is waiting regulatory approval, but I do think there probably is opportunity, just given the huge amount of growth we're seeing in this area.
And the organization, the group, becoming the latest to increase its minimum pay, as far as ABSA is concerned, 20,833 rand a month, and becomes the latest lender to reveal what it pays to its lower paid staffers. This transparency is something to be welcomed. Maybe other companies should think about following suit.
Yes, agreed. It's great to see this level of transparency and that the bank is actually working to create a more fair environment at different employee levels. A couple of corporates, like you said, have already taken steps to do this in the past few months to increase that minimum wage and to just ensure more transparent, fairer pay structures. So, yeah, let's hope this does set a trend for more corporates to follow.
And just finally, a view from you on the South African Revenue Service. Overnight, the Commissioner, Edward Kiesvetter, he spoke to us earlier on the program tonight, talking about a credible outcome as far as its 1.8 trillion rand revenue haul is concerned. That was interesting, but what is of more interest perhaps is the recalcitrant 54 million tax delinquents. And he was very clear in his conversation with me earlier tonight that SARS is coming after them with a big, big stick.
Yeah, so it's good to see they've managed to really increase the collection there. It's increased by more than 7% from the previous year. And what he said was that was driven by a better performance coming from the finance sector, which helped offset the weakness in the mining sector. But the compliance programs seem to be really working there in helping to bring in more of that money. So that's better. That's due to just better administration processes resulting in collections on outstanding debts and just better compliance overall.
And just worth noting for the record, though, Kiesvetter also saying that there were lower than expected collections from cigarettes compared to other excise products. In fact, the shortfall there, just looking at my screen, something in the region of 420 million rand. So expect a clampdown, I guess, on illicit tobacco sales as well. Fahima Adia from Momentum, as always, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll have another chat next week.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.